first Sunday of 2019. Can you believe it? We weren't going to make it past the year 2000, I thought, and here we are, 2019. I want to talk about reaching the goal today. Let me start with this story about a very successful lawyer who parked his brand new Lexus in front of the office, ready to show it off to his colleagues. And as he opened the door, a truck came along and completely tore off the driver's door. The attorney immediately called, grabbed his cell phone, hit speed dial for 911, and he had the policeman there within 3 minutes. And he started screaming hysterically before the cop could ask any questions at all. You know, he had just picked up the Lexus the day before, and now it would never be the same, no matter how good a job the body shop would do. And then after the lawyer finally wound down from his rant, the cop shook his head in disgust and disbelief, and he said, "I can't believe how materialistic you lawyers are," he said. "You are so focused on your possessions that you don't notice anything else." "Well, how can you say such a thing?" he responded indignantly. And the cop replied, "You didn't even notice that your left arm is missing from the elbow down. It must have been torn off when the truck hit you." "Oh no," screamed the lawyer in shock. "Where's my Rolex?" Priorities. What are your priorities? And I think it's a great time as we look forward to a new year, a new beginning. We need to make sure our priorities are in order. God has a high calling for us as followers of Christ. It's a high calling. But how can we reach the goal? How can we stay focused on the priorities? I want to read from Philippians chapter 3 today, verses 1 through 14. You can follow along. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. As I was preparing for this, I just liked the way it was worded in here. Here's what it says. "Whatever happens, my dear brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord." Okay, that's a good start. Whatever happens, rejoice in the Lord. Then he says, "I never get tired of telling you these things, and I do it to safeguard your faith." So that's a good one for me, that sometimes when you've been preaching for a long time, you say a lot of the same things. Well, so did the Apostle Paul. He says, "I keep telling you these things, and it's a good for you." And then he says, "Watch out for those dogs, those people who do evil, those mutilators who say you must be circumcised to be saved. For we who worship by the Spirit of God are the ones who are truly circumcised. We rely on what Christ Jesus has done for us. We put no confidence in human effort, though I could have confidence in my own effort if anyone could. Indeed, if others have reason for confidence in their own efforts, I have even more. I was circumcised when I was 8 days old. I'm a pure-blooded citizen of Israel and a member of the tribe of Benjamin, a real Hebrew if there ever was one. I was a member of the Pharisees who demand the strictest obedience to the Jewish law. I was so zealous that I harshly persecuted the church. And as far as righteousness, I obeyed the law without fault. I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with himself depends on faith. I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that one way or another, I will experience the resurrection from the dead. I don't mean to say I've already achieved these things or that I've already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing. Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. I like it. I'm not there yet, but I'm going for it. There is a goal ahead. So how do we reach the goal? My first thought is this. You need to know who you are. If you're going to make it all the way with God, you need to know who you are. In verse 3, it kind of talks about relying on Christ. I rely on Christ. The idea here is to depend on Jesus instead of anything or anyone else. He's the one who's actually done amazing things, not you or me. I mean, Paul lists off, in Jewish culture, he lists off some really amazing things. And yet he says, that's nothing compared to Christ. And so we rely on Christ. You know, human tendency is to work hard on the outside, hoping for an inner change. That's what we all tend to do. But God is the opposite. He works on the inside, affecting the outside, and then brings our actions into line. He works from the inside out. Paul also says here, I worship by the Spirit. Church, we need to be filled with the Spirit. And you need to keep on being filled with the Spirit. Because we rely on Christ. Our own efforts will not amount to a hill of beans. We need to be filled with the Spirit and rely on Jesus. Verse 3, he also talks about, I put no confidence in human efforts. You know, as one of the songs says, our flesh may fail, but my God never will. So we put our hope and our trust in the Lord. You can never be good enough in your own strength. You can never be good enough in your own strength. Okay? Good. I'm glad you got that, because that's really important. And you can never do everything exactly right. Now, we might luck out once in a while and get a couple of things right. But you can never do everything exactly right. You just can't. Instead, we need to focus on a heart that goes after God. Our confidence comes from Him, not from anything we have done. So you need to know who you are in Christ. And let me just give you several scripture references to help us here. I am accepted. If you're a believer, you can say those words. I am accepted. I am God's child. John 1:12 tells us that. I am a friend of Christ. John 15:15. I am a member of Christ's body. 1 Corinthians 12:27. I have been redeemed and forgiven of all my sins. Colossians 1:13-14. I have direct access to the throne of grace through Jesus Christ. Hebrews 4:14-16. I'm accepted. God welcomes me. And then I am secure. I am free from condemnation according to Romans 8:1-2. I am confident that God will complete the good work that he started in me. Philippians 1:6. I am a citizen of heaven. Philippians 3:20. I have the Spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. 2 Timothy 1:7. I am born of God, and the evil one cannot touch me. 1 John 5:18. So I'm secure. I'm safe with the Lord. And then I am significant. Listen to this. I'm God's temple. 1 Corinthians 3:16. That's a big deal. I am a minister of reconciliation for God. 2 Corinthians 5:17-21. I am seated with Christ in the heavenly realms. Ephesians 2:6. I am God's workmanship. Ephesians 2:10. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians 4:13. So as a believer, I am significant. God has something powerful in store for me. I rely on Christ. I'm accepted. I'm secure. I'm significant. Know who you are in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then know Christ more and more. That's the bottom line. This is the ultimate need for all people. We need to know Jesus. And we need to know him more and more and more and more and more. Not just know about him, but to actually know him personally. And everything else is worthless in comparison. All of our earthly qualifications are absolutely worthless when it comes to spiritual matters. None of our earthly abilities and talents and skills amount to anything when it comes to spiritual things. We need Jesus. We need Jesus. In fact, Paul says here in verse 8, everything else is garbage in comparison to knowing Jesus. Now, there are a lot of good and enjoyable things in this life, but they are like stepping in dog poop compared to knowing Christ. Okay? If you read in the original wording, when Paul says it's garbage, that's kind of the tone he has. Not just a sack of garbage, but, you know, like, that's the image he's painting here. And he's not just saying, he's not saying all of life is that, but he's saying in comparison with knowing Christ, it's like that. We need a better understanding of this contrast. Jesus isn't just a good thing in our lives. He is the ultimate, the supreme, the far better than all others thing in our life. That's it. Everything else is garbage in comparison to knowing Christ. In Luke 9:23 and a couple of verses in there, Jesus says, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit his very self? So Jesus himself there is making the contrast of, you know, the things of this life are nothing in comparison with the things of eternity and knowing Jesus personally. That's what really, really matters, to know Jesus more. And then in verse 10, he basically says, I want to really know Christ. I want to really know Christ. That's taking the idea to the fullest, to know Christ in a personal, even intimate way. Let's not be satisfied with simple knowledge about Jesus. Let's have a deep, personal friendship with him. Did you know you can be friends with the Lord? You can. That was one of the verses I quoted earlier when about who you are. I'm a friend of Christ. You can be friends with the Lord. You don't have to kind of, oh yeah, I know the Lord. No, it can be, I know the Lord. I want to really know him. Psalm 27 verse 4, one thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. Jesus needs to be your one thing. The one thing above all other things, Jesus. We need to know him more and more. And then Paul elaborates a little bit on this in verse 10, and he says that really knowing him includes knowing the power of his resurrection. You know, his resurrection demonstrates his absolute power, and it inspires hope for our resurrection to eternal life. That's encouraging. But then Paul takes a little turn here, and he says, really knowing him includes suffering with Jesus. That one's a little bit harder to grasp. Suffering with Jesus. I actually think there are several layers of thought here. And Jesus suffered. We know that. He suffered. And so if we really want to identify with him, we will be willing to suffer. You understand? You know, if you have a loved one that is suffering and going through some hard times, you kind of feel it with them. And there's that sense of Jesus suffered, and so we need to be willing to suffer. But Paul is also here contrasting the spirit and the flesh, okay? And so if we really want to walk by the spirit, then our flesh is going to undergo some form of suffering, okay? The flesh is going to suffer if we really want to follow the spirit. The flesh is selfish and weak, but the spirit is selfless, and the spirit is willing. So, are you willing to suffer and know Jesus more? It means, there it is again, that dying to self. In fact, he goes on here in verse 10, and he says, really knowing him includes sharing in his death. If you really want to know Jesus, you're going to share in his death. Now that, I believe, is about overcoming the sinful nature that we all deal with. Christ died once to conquer all sin, and we need to die daily to follow Christ. And so we identify with Christ. We know him more and more, and we're willing to suffer and even die to ourselves, because that's who Jesus is. And so we want to know him more and more. Romans 8, 13 through 15 says, if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. I want to know Jesus more and more. And the Spirit of God just shines the light on Jesus. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He just shines a light on Jesus. And so I want to be led by the Spirit, so that I can know Jesus more and more. And then to reach that goal, simply put, you need to keep pressing on. Verse 12 says that, and since we really have everything we need in Christ, we need to go wholeheartedly after him. So the idea here is to never give up, but keep pressing on. And that's a tough one, because we all are inclined to give up from time to time, aren't we? You know, some difficult times come, we're like, just throw in the towel. But if you want to reach the goal, you got to keep pressing on. Keep pressing on. And Paul says here in verse 13, one of the ways you do that is you forget the past. And the enemy loves to hold our past over our heads, and thus he creates a ceiling for us with that past. But God is calling us upward, and there is no ceiling as we pursue him. We have to let go of the past. You can't live in the past. Now, some things of the past may kind of inspire you for the future, but you cannot live in the past. You have to live in the moment and in the present as you move towards the future. So forget the past. Jesus said it this way in Luke 9:62. No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. There's another scripture says, remember Lot's wife. That's all it says. Remember Lot's wife. Well, what did Lot's wife do? She looked back. She focused on the past, and it stopped her dead in her tracks. So we have to forget the past. It's been said sometimes we have to let go of the past in order to enjoy the present and be able to dream of the future. And boy, is that true. You ever been stuck just kind of bemoaning something horrible in your life? And then you're just stuck there. You can't hardly focus on today, let alone tomorrow, because I'm so consumed with what went wrong. And here's another way of looking at it. I say stop beating yourself up for the past. You know what? You're in good company. We've all blown it from time to time. Every one of us has messed it up one time or another. Except for you, Scott. Right, just once. Sure. Okay. Well, here's another one. So you're in good company. But, you know, And I'm probably one that tends towards this, and so I'm preaching to myself. When I mess up, I just kind of beat myself over the head of, dummy, why'd you do that? But the scripture says if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and forgives us our sins. 1 John 1:9. And so he has forgiven us and moved on. So we need to move on as well. Forget the past. Move forward. In fact, that's the next thought here in verse 13. Paul says, look forward to what is ahead. Look forward to what is ahead. He's got a high, lofty goal for us. Well, how do you reach the goal? Well, you better know where it is and keep your eye on it. There are better days ahead, church. There is a heavenly prize. And all our efforts need to be moving in that direction. Now, some translations here use the word straining towards what is ahead, which indicates a hearty effort. This calling is not for wimps. It's not. You know, if I could just put it in layman's terms, you might not be man enough to be a follower of Christ. It's not for wimps. It's not easy. It's difficult. And yet the Lord enables us, and we need to press on and strain towards what is ahead. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Press on towards that goal. And then press on to the end. Verse 14 says that. We have the goal in mind. In this life, we want to be more and more like Jesus as we look forward to eternity in heaven. Again, this indicates strenuous effort. If you want to win the race, you can't lollygag around. Right? Anybody ever been in track? I was in track in high school. Wasn't very great at it, but I was in track. But if you want to win, you got to go for it. You can't just kind of, okay, I guess here we go. You got to get after it. All right? However, remember, this is a marathon, not a sprint. So we're giving all our effort, but it's for the long haul. For the long haul. Hebrews 12:1 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. We need to throw off things that are bogging us down. If we want to reach the goal, if we want to run the race, we got to get rid of the junk. In all kinds of races, if you ever watch the Olympics or any of those things, whether it's swimming or running, whatever, they're not carrying big packs on their back. They're wearing lightweight, form-fitting clothes because they want to get rid of all the other weight that would slow them down, anything that's going to tie them down, because they want to win that race. And church, we need to get rid of some junk. Throw off everything that hinders. And then verse 14 says, so that we can win the prize. And I want to say, church, it will be worth it all. The end goal is inspirational. When you understand there's a heavenly prize, there is a heavenly prize. That is inspiring. Yes. 1 Corinthians 9:21 says, do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. There's a prize. So let's go for it and press on. So how do you reach the goal? How do you go after that high calling that God has for us? You need to know who you are. know who you are in Christ. You need to know Christ more and more and more and more, and I can't say more enough. Know Christ more, and then keep pressing on. Don't ever give up. God has a high calling for each and every one of us. Will you keep pressing on with me? Will you make that the goal for this year, to keep pressing on? Keep pressing on. Keep pressing on. Keep pressing on. It'll be worth it. It's totally worth it. As we close here in a moment, there's going to be a video playing with some music, and you'll recognize a song. You can sing along. But I also want you to, just before we leave today, spend a few moments perhaps here at the altar and just make this first Sunday of the year a time of recommitment. Lord, I'm in this for the long haul. Starting a new year, fresh outlook, and so I want to set the tone right. And so I recommit myself to you, Lord. Let's make that our prayer as we close. Go ahead and play the video. Thank you, Lord, for your word and your presence with us, God. Thank you for this reminder that it's worth it. It's worth it to follow you and to keep pressing on. And so, Lord, we recommit ourselves to you this first Sunday of the year, and we say, Lord, we are yours. We surrender to you. We give our lives to you again, and we will press on. God, we're looking to you for strength because we need to rely on you. It's not in our strength. And Lord, we want to know you more and more. Help us to know you better in 2019 than we knew you in 2018. And give us strength, Lord, as we commit to pressing on. Another year for you. Have your way, Lord God. I pray that as a spokesman here for Open Bible Church, God, we welcome you here in 2019. This is your place. We are your people. And we welcome you to fill us, Lord. Do what you want to do. Use us for your glory. May your kingdom be expanded and grown through Boone Open Bible Church. Use us, Lord. We commit ourselves to you. This is your church. And we are your people. And we commit ourselves to you yet again. Another year for you. We look to you for our strength and our guidance in all things. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God's blessings on you. Have a great week. And keep on committing your life to Jesus. See you next time.